الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. We discussed yesterday about the roza of the stomach. The more details with regard to that before we carry on. Roza of the stomach, first of all, we should also understand that the creation of the stomach is also a great qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. If we just use it, we've hardly perhaps ever think that this is also a very, very great qudrat of Allah Ta'ala, that a person eats something and how in the system we put it in the mouth, it goes down the food pipe, it goes into the stomach. From there, the stomach then, the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala takes out what is necessary for the eyes and it sends it to the eyes. What is necessary for the brains, it sends it to the brains, to every part of the body. If you also consider, sometimes we have a headache and then we take a tablet where the headache is in the head, but we put the tablet in the mouth, and from the mouth it's going down in the stomach. And the stomach then, what a computer Allah has put, it works it out, and whatever effect it has to send to the head, it sends it there. We got a pain in the toe, and also gout, whatever, doctor has prescribed some tablets for us. We take the tablet, we don't put it there on the toe, we put it in the mouth. It goes into the stomach, the stomach's work. What is the great work of the stomach? A very, very great qudrat of Allah Ta'ala, by which we can recognize Allah Tabaruk wa Ta'ala. And all these things, it shows that how Allah Ta'ala's system is working. A person went to the doctor and told him that I ate 10 raw rotis. Rotis that we have 10 he ate, and raw ones. So my stomach is paining very, very badly. And so the doctor gave him eye ointment. He said, "Doctor, nothing wrong with my eyes. Everything is wrong with my stomach. It's paining." Doctor said, "First we have to treat your eyes. Couldn't you see it's raw rotis? The problem is with your eyes first. Then we will treat your stomach later." So anyway, the stomach Allah Ta'ala has made as a very, very great qudrat of Allah, and nobody can ever exhaust all the details. In fact, it comes so much in the Hadith Sharif that if a person dies of stomach pain, Allah save us all. If we ever went to a patient who has got stomach pain or anything else also, how he suffers, it comes in the Hadith, that person dies as a shaheed. So this shows how severe it is when the stomach is not functioning properly. Just small little things of the stomach, constipation for example. Then also we know what is the condition of a person. A person's urine doesn't come out. That has to do with the bladder, with the kidneys, everything of Allah Ta'ala. What great qudrat. Now, Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahab Rahmatullah Ali used to say that we worry a lot about our food. He says that Allah who made us a stomach, which is such a great creation of Allah, compared to that, food is a small creation. But when Allah gave you a stomach, then why won't He give you the food to fill the stomach? Oh, we don't have to worry so much about the filling of the stomach. Allah Ta'ala has made the means for that. We must worry of recognizing Allah, and in that recognition of Allah is the obedience of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala also. But just to give us an idea that what this great qudrat of Allah is about the food and the stomach, even a greater, that then we can imagine how great this qudrat is. On one occasion, Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali was having a meal. One grain of rice or whatever else it was, it slipped from his hands, fingers, and it fell down. And it rolled away, like for example, a ball of peas. It just rolls away, many other things like that. So Hazrat looked for it, he couldn't find it. There were some children of the neighborhood who were playing. He told them, help me look for it. They looked for it, they found it. After that, he cleaned it and he ate it. When he came to the Khanqa, then he explained to the people, this happened. And then he said, why did I take all this trouble? He says that one grain of rice, one ball of peas, or whatever it was, this is also the great Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. And you have you want to weigh a kilo of rice. Those last few grains make it. And without the one grain, you won't get a kilo. Without one grain, without kilos, you won't get a bag of rice. And without bags of rice, you won't get a whole container of rice. So every one grain is so valuable and so great. So we take, for example, that we eat rice quite often. We have bread, the wheat that we eat, so many things that we have. Just if we think of how it has come to us, that on the farm of, for example, where they planted rice, for in order to plant the rice, how many workers they needed. And for all those workers, they only could come to work if they were healthy. And to be healthy, they also had to eat. They had to have shelter, their family. All those things were right, then they could come to work. Just something is wrong in their body, then they will inform the boss or what, we're sorry, we can't come to work. So how many things for them to come? And then when they worked on that farm, for example, they used tractors. And the tractor, in most cases, in which country the tractor is used, it's not made in that country. It's made in another country. And really not made, also just assembled in another country. And the different parts that are used in the tractor, the steel that they use, just a few broad outlying things. Otherwise, the details we also don't know. And it's just the steel, the oil or diesel, the rubber, the plastic that is used, all different types of things. In all probability, they are made in different countries. And from those countries, then these people import it there. The parts are made. From the parts, then it is assembled in one country. For all this, ships are required to transport all this. And if you think of the whole ship industry, to build a ship, to maintain the ship, and then again to load the ships on with the cranes, etc., all the containers, everything has got a big history behind itself. And we can never ever exhaust any one thing's history. And all that comes, then for example, the tractor is assembled in one country. We import it into our country. When it is brought here, then from the docks to our farm, what a big process. The trucks that are used, then the roads that are built. If there weren't roads, how should it come? And to build the roads again, how many people work to build the roads? And then again, that comes further, and then all the computer work that is done. Without all the paperwork being done, the goods are there, everything is ready. But the paperwork, one signature is not made. It's not, the goods are not released, etc. So how many things are done? Then it comes here. And then, for example, it was rice. From there now, the tractors came, they made the rice. And then it goes to the people who pack the rice in various forms, bags, 5 kilo per bag, packets, etc., all the different. It goes to the wholesalers. It goes to the retailers. From the retailers, we go and buy it. And when we bring 1 kilo of rice, we pay 25, 30 rand for a kilo of rice, whatever the price might be. Can this ever be the pay for all these things which are happening in the back? That's how we're paying. It's just like the old barter system that there was. I give you something, you give me something in return, and our life carries on. What I haven't got, I take from you. What you haven't got, you take from me. So it is just like that, but now it is done with money, exchange of money. I gave money, you gave me the rice. I gave you money, and you gave me my flour. All these things. But really, this money can never ever pay for that. And what is the real pay for it is when we recognize Allah. And when that Alhamdulillah comes from the bottom of the heart. But very sadly, and this also, if we can have it done, Mali Musa, perhaps let us take notice when we open our roza, do we say Bismillah? Or are we not saying Bismillah even when we're opening our roza? After having kept roza for 12 and a half hours, and now rozi Allah is giving us ready, the khajurs from where they are coming, the almonds from where they are coming, the containers in which they are kept, the little children who help to set the dasturkhan, if they are sick also or something, they also won't come. Those people who are working and organizing, how much they have to worry. And to get the khajurs, we come, we sit down, khajurs are ready. But they work months before that we are going to need about so many kilos of khajur. We're going to need so many liters of zamzam. And they worried about all that. We just get it ready. And if we can't even say one Bismillah. There was one very good friend of ours, he has passed away. Qari Ghulam most probably he was in Dubai in Masjid-e-Ghurair, and he was also like a farishta type of person. All the people who should come for collection from India, Pakistan, the madrasas, he should host them in his masjid. And it is not allowed there, but the government doesn't allow it. So he's got big boards that no collectors are allowed to stay in the masjid, but all come there and stay there. And he himself cooks for them, not by anyone else. I saw myself, he's just got his vest and his lungi on, and he's busy with the pots and he's cooking for all of them. And then he used to say, when they used to eat, and he should say, these are the principals of madrasas, these are like the top ustads of the madrasas, the madrasa is sent out for collection. He says, I don't see anyone saying Bismillah, Bismillah, Bismillah when they see eating. In between, Alhamdulillah, at the end, Alhamdulillah, Allazi at'amana, nothing I see. So I tell them that if you don't like my food and you don't want to say Bismillah, you don't thank me also. They don't even thank me. He free of charge, he feeds them, cooks with his own hand. And we don't even tell the host, Jazakallah. Are we insan or what are we then? If we don't show that appreciation. So he says, if you don't like the food, then at least read La Hawla Wa La Quwwata Illa Billah. But read something. If you don't want to say Alhamdulillah, you don't like the taste, read La Hawla Wa La Quwwata. So if we don't like the khajurs or something, read La Hawla at least. Read something, but nothing whatsoever. And notice, try and see for ourselves, think about ourselves. Do we really read? Or perhaps our ikhlas, sincerity has gone to that level that we just read in our heart. We don't move our lips that somebody will find out I'm reading Bismillah. So we just read in our heart. No, so much of sincerity, for which our Shaykh, Jazahumullah Khair, gave such a beautiful example that he says, like, if a plane load of people from Hajj, Umrah, came, Saudi Airlines came, Muslim country, Muslim all people inside, all Hajis, people of Umrah, and all the staff also are all Muslims. And when they land at O.R. Tambo, then the captain announces that, see, we have got the best wheels in the whole world. No other airline has got the wheels what we have got, the very top level. And we got it, and we don't want to show the people. So when we're going to land, we're not going to take out the wheels. We're going to keep them in the aeroplane. And we're going to land without taking out the wheels. Everyone will tell the captain, please, that amount of ikhlas and sincerity that you don't want to show your wheels also, you keep it there for Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif. Or you keep it for your tahajjud, but now please take out your wheels. Because if you don't take out the wheels and you're going to land, the whole plane will go up in flames. It will burn. It will catch fire. It will be destroyed. It will explode. So just like that, our ikhlas also, that we do, it doesn't even, no Bismillah, our lips don't move. Yeah, but to put the khajur in, then the mouth opens quite enough. But quite big enough that the mouth opens to put the khajur. But just to say that Bismillah, so this is very important. So this, the food that Allah Ta'ala gives, that we say at least one Alhamdulillah. Allah Ta'ala says nothing can pay for that. You can't ever imagine to make my shukr also. But when you say Alhamdulillah, then you have fulfilled the rights of it. So this namas of Allah, and it isn't only food. Let us think, we are here for our islah. Allah make our islah. When we wear our clothes in the morning, do we read dua? Alhamdulillah illazi kasani hadha. Alhamdulillah illazi kasani hadha soap wa razaqani any, or even just bismillah at least. But this clothes also, if we just think how it has been made, where and where the material was made, then where it was sewn, where it was to cut it, the scissors were required, the machines were required, the cotton was required, how much was required, and we don't say one bismillah also. So Allah give us tawfiq, and if we just get used to reading the du'as on the relevant occasions, this is such a great ibadat. It is recorded that when Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, the founder of Tabligh Jamaat as we know it today, when he passed away, naturally how many people came, and everyone desired that he also carries the janazah. So when it is a case like that, people are pulling it this way, that way, and it's not moving front. So some great wali of Allah Wala, whom Allah had blessed with kashf, he announced and said that please let Maulana's janazah go straight and quickly, because Rasul Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam is waiting to welcome Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Sahib rahmatullah alayhi. What a great honor, after all. And then he said also, why was this? All Hazrat's great work and all work of tabligh that is carrying on, sawab is going to Hazrat Maulana. Everywhere in the world, all the sawab, and how much work has taken place, is taking place. But he said it was because he was very particular of reading the du'as of the various occasions. That when you get up in the morning, Alhamdulillah illazi ahyana. You get off your bed, Bismillah. Take Allah's name, otherwise you don't know, you can sprain your ankle, anything can happen. You are going to the toilet, then also read the dua. When you come out of the toilet, again a dua. You're starting your wudu, dua again. All the time there are duas. So if we just observe these duas, it will be so much of zikr of Allah that we will be in. And we will have connection of Allah, and we'll appreciate every ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. So this food that Allah gives us, with which we fill our stomach, we should make a lot of shukr to Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala and recognize the qudrat of Allah. And then again, this food that we eat, whatever we eat, then according to that, the stomach takes it out, whatever the vitamins for the various parts, for the nails, whatever is required. A doctor will tell you, your nails are now like brittle, they are breaking. He'll tell you, you are short of a certain vitamin. That vitamin, how will it come in the body? Through the stomach, from the mouth to the stomach. So, and your hair is falling off. Or your head hair, Allah save us, the beard hair, all the hair is just falling off. It is also, the body is short of something. And all that what the body is being supplied with is from the stomach. So this is a very great qudrat of Allah Ta'ala also, a very great namat of Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala also. One time a king who his urine had blocked. First his winds had blocked. So he tried all medicine, everything, doctors, nothing helped. So he called the great buzurg and the sheikh of the time. So he came and he read something, he blew on him. His wind started, and when the winds don't go out, that is also what a problem for a person. If you feel bloated, your stomach is full, and the winds are not going out, that is also a big problem. So anyway, that got sorted out. His urine, he asked the buzurg, the king, the buzurg asked the king, I will sort it out for you, but what will you give me? So he asked, what do you want? He said, you have to give me, for example, 1/3 of your kingdom. So he said, I will give it to you, but this condition of mine, please relieve me of that. So he gave that, it got relieved, he gave him. After that, his urine got blocked. He tried everything, nothing helped. Again he called that buzurg, again he read and blew on him, and it came right, another 1/3 of his kingdom. Then his stool got blocked, constipation, so bad, and he couldn't take that also. the whole kingdom. The king said, and that Buzurg said, you keep your whole kingdom. I don't need what I got. Allah wala who are genuine Allah wala, they're not in need of any of these things. He said, all I wanted to show you that your kingdom is not worth one wind coming out of your body. It is not worth one some urine coming out of your body and some stool coming out of your body. And these we just take it for granted. And if the stomach, the center point of all illness is the stomach. If the stomach is right, the whole body functions properly. And if the stomach is not right, then you have all other problems. That's why Hakims, they won't worry much of what that illness is. They will get your stomach in order. When your stomach will come right, then everything else also will come right. This is the focal point. And this is Allah Ta'ala has given it to us. So we should see with regard to the more details that what are we putting in our stomach. If we will be putting in the wrong things in our fuel tank, which has to take diesel, and we put paraffin in there, now the best car is not going to work. And in the fuel tank, if you need petrol, and you go and put diesel in there, or the jet plane, that takes jet fuel, and we go and put the fuel for the car in there, it won't work also. For the stomach also, Allah has made that fuel also. And that fuel is the food, and that food must be the correct food also. If we put the wrong food in, then we have the problems which we are facing, which we are sitting with. And when we see the hospitals are full, government hospitals, difficult to get a bed also. And if you go to private, you will pay through your neck how much you will pay for that treatment. And all this is because we haven't understood this great Qudrat of Allah and this great Na'mat of Allah. The stomach is a great Na'mat, how we enjoy our food. Really, if we eat in the correct way, there will be even more greater enjoyment. So the stomach is a great Na'mat also of Allah Ta'ala, that we take food, all different. Allahu Akbar. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali has written, insan, one insan Allah has made such that in his food, for example, in a plate, you will have biryani or you will have rice also. You will have mutton or chicken also. You will have potatoes also. You have peas also. You have everything. To understand this, appreciate this Na'mat also, when the Indian Muslims came to South Africa at the beginning, they used to do mostly hawking. They should go and hawk in the farms of the white people. And on a Wednesday, usually, they should come back to Johannesburg, buy their wares again, and the whole week they should go out hawking again. No, of course, masjids anywhere, no Muslims also anywhere. They should sleep. The white people, the Afrikaner people generally, should give them, and they had great respect also for them. They were such honest people that the white woman, Afrikaner woman, who were at that time no schools or anything, they didn't know anything. They should take their money and put it in front of them, that what we bought, you take your money. And they were so honest, they only took what is the right amount. From there, just remind me only, Musa. I'll just go to another one point also to show that those people who came and what we are today. There was one Maulana Sulaiman Anandwi Rahmatullah Ali. Not very long he has passed away. It is, of course, long now. And a very, very pious and righteous alim. And he was also a case where his wife made him Hafiz al-Quran. And his wife, according to what I know, she was the only woman that was in Parda. Here in South Africa, in those days when nobody, the woman did not observe parda as such with hijab. But the object of parda, modesty, shame, was much more than what our women have got with niqab also. The amount of shame and modesty they had. Anyway, so his good friends were the Varachia family in Hackwood, which till today they are there also. So he went and visited there. And on a Saturday afternoon, and he was also one of the few Maulanas who used to wear his kurta out of his trouser. Otherwise, even Maulanas put their kurta inside the trouser. Now, Alhamdulillah, Allah made it. Everyone is wearing kurta also openly. We are not suffering from an inferiority complex or anything. So anyway, he said he wants to go for a walk down to the river. So they knew that a few Afrikaner people, families are living on that way. And these people will make a mock out of Maulana how he's dressing. And they all had trouser, shirt and trouser. And Maulana beard also properly, and his kurta also, but he insisted. And as they went, it was a Saturday afternoon, they were sitting on their stoop. So they asked them to come. So they said, Abad, now they're going to make a big mockery out of us. But what did they say? They said, these people who are dressed like this, with the kurta, we should call them Arabira. We should call them Abraham. These were the righteous, pious God people, people of God. And we had great respect when they used to come, do their hawking, then we should give them coffee and food to eat, to have. We should give them a place in our house to sleep. But when you people changed and came into your shirt and trouser, now we call you coolies, which was a derogatory term for Indians. We call you coolies now, and you haven't got that quality which those people have got. So we don't have to suffer from any inferiority complex, but with this clothes, let us live up to it also. What this clothes mean and what they are portraying, Allah give us those qualities also. What does that mean? Ji. So this way, so like that they should come on a Wednesday back to Johannesburg, buy more wares. So there was one restaurant, Bismillah restaurant. In those days, which may be about 150 years ago. So on a Wednesday, he used to cook biryani. Because these people, no family, they were just having coffee and jam and bread and that. And they look forward to their biryani, etc. And on that day, Wednesday, he should say, you just pay 1 shilling. The currency at that time was pounds, pence and shillings. You pay 1 shilling and you can eat as much as you want to. So one person came and he ate 10 plates of biryani. So after that he went and he gave him his 1 shilling back. He says, I'm giving you your shilling back, but after today you don't come back to my restaurant again. So anyway, that 1 shilling cannot pay for 1 plate of biryani also, and it can't pay for 1 grain of rice also. And in that biryani, when you take with your fingers and you eat, then you take... There's some rice in there, there's some mutton or chicken, there's a piece of potato, you're taking a little chutney or a little bit of achar and some papar. From where Allah has sent this all for you? Can your 1 shilling or can your 10 pounds or can your 100 rand ever pay for it? It can never. All these are the great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala, and more greater ni'mat than that is the stomach. What is ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala? So we should appreciate it, and every ni'mat, use it for what it is meant. We should not abuse it. And then again, it is an amanat also. It is a great amanat. If the stomach is looked after well, our whole health also will be looked after. And moreover, if that understanding can come into young people, it only comes into old people. As in beautifully in Gujarati it is said that when you become old, only then you understand. So if you are young and you look after your stomach and you don't eat all junk food, etc. With regard to that, hopefully that we can understand, if people, mother and father, drink zamzam water, and from that the energy in the body is made, the semen is made, and the child that is born, they also grow him up with zamzam water. And zamzam is enough for everything. Zamzam is a complete meal of its own. Then the child will be a Makki, the original Makki. He'll have qualities of like a person of Makkah of those days. And if the parents ate khajur of Medina, and they brought up the child eating khajur, he will be a Madani. And if the parents ate junk food, and they brought the child up with junk food, then he'll be a junkie. And that is what unfortunately we have got today, all junkies we have got. And we blame the children, but we are to blame. We eating junk food, we giving them junk food. We are growing them up with junk food. So that will be the result. So, So this food, this abanat, if the stomach is a great amount. So the old people only understand this when we get old. Fortunate, very fortunate are those young people who will be able to understand this. and they from now look after their stomach. Then when they in their old age, one old person said, you are very healthy at old age, over 100 still, very agile, very he's flex and he can do everything. He said, I looked after my youth, and now my youth is looking after my old age. But when we are now at this age, we don't look after our youth and our stomach. And usually when we are young like this, then the stomach can digest anything. But afterwards, when you start becoming 40, 50, then the stomach, then you have to go, you have to start becoming careful. And a bit more older, then we find generally, old people say we don't eat at night. Okay? Or we eat early, or we just have a small light meal. All because the stomach has been destroyed. So the stomach is very important, and important, and if we can understand and give it the right food, so then inshallah, we will appreciate it our whole life. And it isn't only, this is the physical aspect. The spiritual side also. If we eat, which Quran Sharif, Kalam of Allah. And it is speaking, Quran Sharif speaks about Jannat and speaks about the great spirituality and deep things of spirituality. But the Quran got ayats of eating also. Ya ayyuhar rusulu kulu min at-tayyibat. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kulu min tayyibati ma razaqnakum. How many ayats? Kulu washrabu wa la tusrifu. So many ayats about eating, which shows how important it is for our physical side and more important for our spiritual side. And if we eat the right food, like in these ayat which Allah Ta'ala is saying, you eat the right food, then your amal-e-salihah also is going to come in your life. Our yaqeen is also connected with the food that we eat. All wasawis that we get, doubts that we have. And today we are blaming that this person, Allah save us all. And for that also, let us try and make a habit to read. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was asked that which was the most common dua Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make. She said, as he was walking, everything, all the time, Ya muqallib al-qulub, sabbit qulubana ala deenik. Oh, you are the changer of heart, keep our hearts on deen. Ya musarrif al-qulub, sarrif qulubana ala ta'ati. Oh Allah, the one who changes the heart, and the heart of the whole creation are, so to say, it comes in the hadith, between the fingers of Rahman. And Allah can just change them anyhow. Any way Allah changes them. So we must make this dua and think that people, Allah save us all who are becoming murtad, our iman is becoming weaker. Read this dua for our protection also, our family, our children, and the whole ummah at large. And for everyone, make this dua. And we know, everyone knows it's in our, Allah protect us all. It's in our family, it's in our neighborhood, it's in our community. There are our people who are in drugs, who are in porn, who are in how many other gunas. So, oh Allah, you are the changer of the heart. And when their hearts will change, they themselves will give up all this. You're lecturing, you're controlling, you're not giving them money for drugs, anything, that's not going to change their lives. If their hearts change, you need a change of heart, then everything will change. And in this one beautiful short dua, it is there, and make the niyat for the whole ummah. Ya Allah, those of our youngsters, or whoever it might be, who have got bad habits, gambling habits, many grown-up people have got gambling habits, have got other bad habits. Oh Allah, you are the controller. You change them. And which better time can there be than the month of Ramadan? So this month we should use, and this dua also we should make commonly and consciously, and make it abundantly also. At that juncture, again ask ourselves, how many of us are really reading, which has been emphasized for us so much, La ilaha illallah. نستغفر الله نسأل الله الجنة ونعوذ بالله من النار. We are here in اعتكاف in Ramadan, but ask ourselves, am I reading it even once a day? If I'm falling so short, then how everyone else? So if we are not reading these duas, how can we expect other people to be reading also? So Allah give us tawfiq. So anyway, so the fuel of the stomach, The energy that it requires also today has become a day that you find youngsters, no food. Jesus has food. Jesus has 10, 20 energy tablets. Can that ever be your food? And all this junk food, can that ever be your food? It is a complete destruction. Today, a mother is very happy that when the child comes from school, give him a can of Coke, a packet of crisp. And the child is also just so happy. But that besides destruction, what is in there? In that can of Coke, not from our standards and what we gauge it, but from Western, from modern standards, what is a can of Coke besides filled? It's a can filled with diseases. And that packet of crisp, with all the salt and everything, what is it? It is just to make a person sick. And that child who has it Monday to Friday for years and years when he's at school, what is the result going to be? So this is also a very important thing. And food also, to eat food, and the etiquette of food is also. Today is also a time when a person is busy on his computer, he's eating his sandwich also, and he's carrying on, he's driving and he's having his sandwich, or he's having a burger or whatever else. And today, unfortunately, this has become standard food. Open roza with burgers, etc., with a pizza, etc., with all this type of things. The deep fry stories of the past also. Now no more samosas and bhajiyas and pies. Now it is all these things. And all this is nothing but poison that we are putting. And voluntarily, and we are paying so much. You have a deep, today you're going to eat out. How much does that cost? But perhaps 10% of that amount, if you prepare a nice, good meal at home, and if you are insistent on eating out, go and eat in the yard. You'll be eating out also. So you don't have to go so far to eat out, just go and eat in the yard, and you have that, and you'll have such a good meal, and the family all together, everything. And at these places, how often we hear the fights that take place. When the families get together and they go to these places, and at these places where they abound all these outlets, the amount of dirt, the way we will speak against dirt and dirty people, but go and see these places and the elite people go and eat out, and go and see the dirt there, go and see the dustbins there, go and see the wastage of food there. This is the merkaz of wastage. All these places, a person orders so much and he eats a little bit, the rest is gone for waste. It is just thrown down the dustbins, etc. And at the time when people are dying of hunger, and these are our eating habits, what can we expect? What will be the result? So anyway, the roza and what the fast of eating, is that we don't eat during the day. Quite understood, alhamdulillah. Oh, inshallah, the whole ummah is doing that we are not eating. But when we now start eating, iftari time, then there are a few things that which we observe, then our whole eating will come under control. Through eating, we will get the ma'rifat of Allah. We'll get the closeness. We'll become awliya through eating. It is narrated, as-sa'imu shakir, kas-sa'imi sabir. A person who eats and makes shukr is like a person who kept roza and made sabr. So this person who ate, when does he make shukr? When he really enjoyed that food. And that person who kept roza, when does he make sabr? When that roza was very hard for him. The pangs of hunger was hitting him. Now he sleep and his mind also is not working. But the person who ate and made shukr gets the reward like that person who kept roza and the roza was hard for him. What a way to become a wali of Allah. You eat and you make shukr. Eat in the correct way. And eating also, sit down properly, free your mind. And very, very important when we eat also, as I was mentioning, that we, while walking, we are eating today. One time, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah explains that this buffet style of eating and this braise that we have, that we're eating, he says, this is not eating, this is charna, like the cow grazes. It's walking, eating food here, goes there. Eats little bit there, goes there. A goat takes some leaves from this tree, it is just like animalism. Eating, what is the deal? You sit down properly and you eat, and your body must be relaxed. Not while you are working also, you're putting something. Then the body, when it's not relaxed, it doesn't take all that food. It just Now it has just become a passage for the food, to come in at the mouth and go out through it, at the bottom. What the stomach has to do when you are not relaxed, then the stomach doesn't take all that vitamins and that. You can eat the most healthy food, but your stomach is not relaxed, it's not doing the job, it's just passing through. It's just changing it into something very bad, and it's gone passed through, but the body, it didn't take out and send to the parts of the body which is required. So when a person sits nicely, not of course wasting time, but reasonably he sits down and he's relaxed and he eats, then he gets the maximum benefit of that food. So this food that we should eat, we should see that when we open our roza, it must be halal food. That is the fuel. If we are putting doubtful food, etc., it is like we are putting in the jet plane, we are putting paraffin in there and we are expecting it to fly. Or a more extreme example, to the jet that you got that can take you from here to Jeddah in 6 hours, for example. Now you put about 10, 12 or 20 oxen to pull it. And then you say this jet, they said it's such, what a jet, it can take you right to Jeddah in 6 hours. But it's not even moving out of the airport in 60 days. Because you put oxen there, you put the wrong things for it. So the same way the stomach will also produce for our physical body also, our spiritual body also. If we put the right fuel in the stomach, it will also give us results. So the first thing, it must be halal. That we must see that it is halal food. The other, it is tayyib. Tayyib, in which there is no doubt also, it is healthy, wholesome food. And it is food which the stomach can digest also easily. And so if we have that, then again, if it is healthy food also, then also sometimes a person makes a mistake that this food I won't get again, this healthy food. This camel meat that grew up right in the desert, and how healthy, and we overeat, it's also not right. That healthy food also, you get mutton, you get chicken, you get beef, anything which is healthy, but also just in moderation. How much you must eat, only so much. This overeating, Allahu Akbar. Haji Ahmed Nakhud Asab is a living example in front of our eyes. He's well over 80, old age is there of course, but otherwise so healthy. And what is this food? As long as we know him, it is only mung dar, this one type of dar that doesn't produce gas. All the other dar produce gas. Whole life, breakfast, supper, lunch, every day it is only that what he eats. And not spiced at all. Just that what he eats. So he lives on that, in that simple food. And then see the amount of work he does. We get shocked that the amount of majalis he does, how he explains, and his brains, how they work. That quotation of a kitab, which kitab has got which quotation. And everything, he's got everything so well organized. But he eats so simple food and so little. The point that I wanted to mention, he has come to that stage where he can't eat. He can't. Voluntarily he doesn't overeat. And somebody else eats a lot, it works on him. How can you be eating so much? How can you fill your plate with so much food? He can't tolerate that somebody else who eats more. This is exactly as Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, who was never a lover of... What a simple life. Murid of his from South Africa, who went and stayed in the khidmat for his tarbiyah. And Hazrat's pillow on which he used to sit, the pedestal thing, had become very old, torn, worn out. And we South African, got some money in your pockets, rupees and that, and we can't see a torn thing or anything. He made a nice new cover. When Hazrat saw it, it was like Qiyamat came down. How angry, and he ordered him, you get out of this khanka. You came here to make my khidmat, my tarbiyat, or you came here for your tarbiyat? Anyway, it was a long story. So Hazrat was so simple in everything. And Hazrat has written in Abdi that in his later life, he never wore smart and good clothes, and he couldn't see somebody else wearing also. He says, this which is just going into the dustbins finally. as it comes that your clothes, food that we eat, will go in the toilet. The clothes that we wear, finally it becomes rags and used for the most dirty work. And then it is thrown away into the dustbin. And Hazrat had no inclination. And if we should all try and read our Baitis in English also, we'll get so many lessons to learn how to correct our lives. As far as our clothing, if we want our Islam, simplicity has to come into a person. So all our food also, the more simple it is, that Haji Nakhud Asab, so simple food, but so healthy, he says. So this food, we must eat what is halal, what is tayyib, and then again, eat as little as, and we have to try and control ourselves. Hazrat Maulana Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi, a person, for example, is in the habit of eating 3 rotis, half a loaf of bread. So now, cut it down one by one. Little, little, you cut it down. So we should come down. Food should come down. And this overeating is one of the first thing that has destroyed this ummah. This overeating. One time a Jamaat from Morocco came to Raiwin many years ago. And they were pious people, ulama, and the pious, the elite of the ulama of Morocco. So Abdul Wahhab Sahib, rahmatullah alayh, asked them that in your country, in Morocco, what do you term as piety? Who will you say a person is pious? And they were ulama, they were people who were grounded, who had deen in them, respect, adab also. So they kept quiet, and then slowly they just said that you people have 2 meals a day. In other words, you are dunyadar, you are having 2 meals a day. And by then, only 1 meal a day. That is all. For us, it's impossible. We will rather prefer to die and go in the Qabristan. 1 meal a day, how can I eat a day? How can I eat a day? How can I survive? Impossible. But they said that you are having 2 meals a day. That is a sign that you are dunyadar. Outwardly, you got amal of deen, but you are dunyadar. And we, in that 1 meal, how many course meal? And then no shukar, no name of Allah taken. But just let the salt be little less, let it be little burned, or there isn't enough meat, and see the complaints that we make. So where are we really? So this is also, the roza of food is a very important thing. So when we eat halal, tayyib, and try and cut down. Allah give me also topic, we are all in the same boat. And this is spoken so that it comes in me, it comes in all of us, that we try and control on our food also. And really fortunate is that person that controls, has got good control on his food. And at least we couldn't practice myself at all, but at least we saw those people. That what was their food? Just 2, 3, 1, 2 lukmas and finish. They say, I'm full now. It's over. But unfortunately, we just can't stop. And then again, Allahu Akbar. Hazraji Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali once went to Pakistan. The host, after Fajr, brought some tea and biscuits. And then about 9 o'clock, they said, breakfast. You got breakfast? I had my breakfast already. That was finished. He didn't touch anything. And we will have that also. 9 o'clock breakfast again, lunch again, 4 o'clock tea again, supper again, after Isha again something. How much we eat. Just like we are just born to eat. That is how we are living. That we are just here, we are living just to eat all the time. And this is the thing that it is very important. And as I say, that as youngsters, if we can understand, old age, whether you like it or not, it comes down. Your food gets cut down, everything. But if a person can do it in his young days, very, very fortunate. And we need those people. Then Islam will see, and Muslims will see, who are Muslims. But if we're going to carry on like this, just eating all the time. Today a person gets up middle of the night also, he needs something to put in his mouth. All the time. And how many of us, we go and sleep with a sweet in the mouth. And that there can't be greater harm than what you do to yourself. Ask a dentist and he will tell you, if you didn't rinse your mouth and clean your mouth before you sleeping, you are doing the greatest harm. And the other again, we're not in that direction at the moment, but the mouth is the gateway to the stomach. If the mouth is not right, the hygiene and cleanliness of the mouth is not right. We don't, when we wash our hands before eating, rinse our mouth, and that is not done. And all other old things are there. We are very worried of expiry dates of everything. But the expiry date of the things which are left in the mouth. All the particles between the teeth and everywhere. And then when we eating something else, that's going with now into the stomach. We're doing so much of harm to ourselves. So we should try and eat, and that also try and control it. And these people are such that when they see somebody else's plate so full, and it shouldn't be also, some of us are such that our plate is even more full, it's overflowing. And when somebody else fills his plate halfway, we got a problem. How can you eat so much? But we like with our eyes, we can't see our nose. We can see his nose, but we can't see our nose. So we don't see my plate is so full, but we can see his plate is so full. And we will criticize him, but what our own condition is. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, that this roza of the stomach is very, very important. And if we can bring this, so the whole day we don't eat. When we make iftari, then try our best that we control our eating. Sehri time, we control. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says that our nature, this also in old age, a person becomes, his memory goes, he can't remember things. But we, when it comes to eating matters, when we are eating at iftari time, we forgot we ate double sehri time. Because whole day we had to keep roza, so we took double the fuel. And then again at sehri time, then we say the whole day to keep roza, you have to eat more. And so you eat double. Iftari time, again you eat double. That the whole day I stayed hungry, but you forgot that sehri time, you ate double already. So we're eating more. It's only the times we are changing. Roza was for fasting, was not for feasting. But for us, roza is feasting. And we just feasting one way. Only thing is, we change the times. So that our farz roza is done. But actually the object of roza is to eat less, to feel that hunger. That I am hungry in my roza, I know how the poor people feel, but I know iftari time, 20 things on my dastarkhan. But that poor person, for 20 years, he can't imagine that he's going to get something to eat. And here we got so much. So we should try and control ourselves at that time. All our eating, etc., and all the wrong things that we are eating. Fizzy drinks, cold drinks, what we call here, gas, filled with gas. This actually deep freezes the stomach. An American doctor writes, and it does not allow the stomach to digest that food. Hakim say that at least 20 minutes after meal you should have some liquid. Especially if it's cold, then 20 minutes later. Otherwise, you deep freeze your stomach. And when it's deep freeze, all that food, it doesn't digest it. What does digestion mean? That what has to go for waste, goes for waste. What has to go for the eyes, for the brains, for the muscles, for the nerves, the stomach distributes. When it doesn't function, nothing it takes out. And the food, good food, healthy food, it's all just gone for waste. So Allah Ta'ala give us that in Ramzan, at least if our eating can come right. That also we will do ourselves, and we want Islam. We came here for Islam, but now we have to apply it. We have to bring it, and all this, all the iftari, all that, Allah reward family at home, but since perhaps we are married, all these things are out of our house. And just simple basic food, that's all. Less than ordinary days also. Just simple straightforward food, that is what is required. Allah make it that becomes a reality, and we understand this, and we keep roza of food also, of the stomach also, and we get the full benefit. We will see what a ni'mat Islam is when our physical health will also be good. A doctor came to Medina Sharif, a Christian doctor, and then after some time, no patient. So he asked one Sahabi, "You look like a very wise person. How come no patient?" He said, "Our Nabi taught us you only eat when you are hungry. And you stop eating when your stomach is little, one third full, you stop eating. But we eat, it's time for eating, whether we're hungry or not, we have to eat now. Because we have to fill in the form that I ate on time. Every time we just have to eat, whether we're hungry or not. And that hunger doesn't mean what we feel, that they're just little hungry. What actually is hunger. And they should stop when the stomach just had so much that they could stand up straight. Then they used to stop. Allah give us me, and give us all tawfiq, that the reality of our deen comes into our lives.